Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
Talk with Angela Butler. I am Angela Butler. Today, the interview is with Mr. Donald Evans. Mr. Evans is a well-known gentleman. Mr. Cheeks talked about him. I'm looking forward to interviewing, hopefully, Mr. Cheeks one day. Great man. But of course, he knows Mr. Donald Evans. Mr. Donald Evans is well known. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing just fine, my sisters. Good to hear your voice this morning and know that we are both blessed to be talking to one another.
Yes, sir, we are. We're blessed to be talking to each other, and we're blessed to be alive. Yes, sir. So I know that you're still looking for the the grandparents who supported Mr. Marvin Garvey. How did your raffle go, raffling off the car?
It's still on. We had a problem where somebody hacked into the site, and it took us a while to get that straightened out. But It is still on. The raffle is still on, and we're going to hold the raffle the weekend of Marcus Garvey's birthday in August.
Okay. All right, that's wonderful. He was a great leader.
Oh, yes, very much so. He's known as the greatest organizer that race has produced.
Yes, sir, I understand. I understand that. So, I know that you're still working on the town or the city. How is that going? And would you tell the people listening what that is all about?
Well, I live in Mound Bayou, Mississippi. And Mound Bayou is the most historic spot for Black folk America. It's the first organized spot by Black people after slavery was ended. Mound Bayou, Mississippi. I'm telling you this because we should know all of the historical spots across Black folk America where our children can travel when they're out of school in the summer. They can tour these places to learn our history and see where these revolutionary leaders like Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass and all of these individuals lived when they were on the planet before their transition. The town that we are working to establish, when I said town, we're talking about a community because we're talking about the houses that go along with the township that is being built in between Batesville, Mississippi, and Marks, Mississippi. In between those two places, there is a family, a Smith family, that have land that they are making it possible to build this township on. It will be complete with its own elementary school system. It will not have a high school. I'm talking about elementary school. We want to get our children under our tutelage right away. So by the time they go to high school, they will be well grounded in who they are and their history all the way back to ancient Egyptian times. But in order for these things to occur, we need to have consistency in bringing us together. That's the reason why we are focusing on grandparents to help us to do that. Every one of our town sites in America, every one of our cities in America, every one of our metropolitan areas in America, if black people are in these areas, so also are grandparents. Grandparents are the ones that have a cradle of knowledge in the family. That's why they are called grandparents. That's a term that is synonymous with longevity. The grandparents are the ones that live the longest in the families. In some cases, like in my family, I am a great-grandfather. That means that I have lived for a considerable period of time, 91 years to be exact. But every family don't have individuals in it that are black males that live to that age, because the black male in the United States of America die before any other ethnicity as far as the length of age of the black male. And there's a reason for that. It isn't because we are weaker than other people, but it's some things that have happened to us, like slavery, for instance. We started out with a lot of stress. Stress brings on different types of physical ailments. If you compare the ones that was causing the stress to the ones that were receiving it, which is the black man and the white man that was causing the stress, the white man wasn't under stress. The black man was under stress the whole time that he was in slavery. And even after slavery, right up until this day and age, because of lack of employment, living in a town site that was beautiful when the pioneers carved it out of the wilderness here. This was a very beautiful town. And now the town is decaying. You travel in particular throughout the South and indeed into the North. You find where the black man is living, a lot of stores are closed up. And the community is in a deteriorating state. Well, if we are the ones that lack unemployment in a greater percentage than any other ethnicity, then you know for sure you don't have money to invest in the community in order to keep your community up. No industry is in the community because the industry is pulled out and in most cases going overseas, because you can get cheap labor overseas to produce the product, turn around and be sent back to America and be sold four and five times what it costs to produce it overseas. All of these things factor into the condition that the black man is in. Why do I say the grandparents are the ones to help us to get out of this? Well, the grandparents can make sure that all families within that town have the opportunity to register in this family movement. They may not all want to register because some of them may be satisfied with the status quo. They may be joint subsistence, like food stamps and welfare. And they're afraid that if they lose that or if they get away from the white man, that is itching this slave way of keeping you subservient to them and not standing up to create your own reality, your own jobs, your own schools, raising your own foods. So so that we can stop eating this poison food that is killing many of us and giving us cancer and things of that sort. So we need our grandparents. We need our grandparents to help get our males back in the churches. You go to any black church throughout black folk America. If it isn't a major church, a mega church, you will find mostly females, grandmothers, are the ones that is holding up the church. Grandfathers have many places that they are other than in church. Sunday mornings. We have got to try to get them back in the church. And we have got to start talking about economics when they do come back into the church. How do we make our community beautiful? I call that process blackenization. Blackenization is just another way of saying where I live, I want it to be as beautiful as where anybody else is living that has benefited from the foundation that is under America, the foundation that was built with the labor of our four people. We are the ones that put the foundation under America, and we benefit from it the least of any of us. But that isn't because we can't benefit from it more. The thing is we have to love ourselves better, believe in ourselves better, and in particular, love our children enough to want to stand up and say we have to change this reality for them. That's the reason why I am focusing on grandparents to help us to do this. There are many ways that this can happen, but I want the grandparents in each town site to be responsible for their town. The town they're living in is their town. I want them to be able to raise a fund so that they will have money to make corrections in their town, their own money. Nobody is going to loan black people money. To build up their communities or to build a new reality, those resources we're going to have to raise ourselves. Once we come together in the numbers that Marcus Garvey put up, the money, the resources will follow the numbers. We will be able then to build our own resources. I'm talking about monetary resources now, because we're going to have to, as you very well know, we're going to have to purchase the materials that we need, the raw materials we need to build anything. We're going to have to build that from the descendants of the ones that put us in this condition, because we don't produce any lumber companies. That's who we're going to have to go to. There are Asians that have come into America now and bought up lumber companies. And naturally, if we get a respectful deal with them, meaning they don't try to jack us up because we're in a precarious situation of having to come to them to buy the materials that we need to build our town sites, our communities. And these things are going to happen. The rapidity of how long it is going to take will depend on our mindset, our will, our belief in our God, our Creator. If our Creator created us first, and He did, He gave us a mission. And the thing that interrupted that mission is the transatlantic slave system that came out of the European people that came to our continent, sold us on the idea that we were pagans and they are bringing us of our paganism into their insanity in order to civilize us by putting chains around our necks, putting us in dungeons and held us until they could get a boatload of us to bring across the Middle Passage. And they started populating the Americas from Brazil all the way to Canada. started dropping off black people, that they were taken off the continent of Africa. And you need to know this history. I mean, it isn't anything for you to get excited about. The only thing it is for you to get emotional enough to have the willpower to understand that our God has never deserted us. Our God was in the bellies of those ships that came across the Middle Passage with us. And can you imagine being chained to somebody who's been dead the first week away from the coast of Africa all the way across the Middle Passage, and you laying there in your own feces and all of this, and you have to suffer all of this, and you know the stench had to have been horrific. And a lot of them died coming across the Middle Passage, a lot of our people. Some of the mothers who had babies that were just born threw the babies overboard and jumped off whenever they would let them come up on deck for fresh air or something of that sort, because they didn't want their children to be raised in slavery. And they would rather feed the bellies of the sharks than to do that. It takes a hell of a lot of courage to throw your baby into the ocean and jump in behind a baby to feed the sharks. And so many of us fear the sharks that the eating pattern of sharks in the Atlantic Ocean changed to the point that they started following, not going to eat fish anywhere through a school of fish. They started following ships from the coast of Africa all the way across the Middle Passage. And that's a scientific fact. These things
followed
the ships. Because every time somebody died, they would take the dead person on some ships, not all ships, but on some ships that were better equipped, and probably their country had equipped that ship better than a poor country in Europe, because it was many companies that had slave ships out there on that ocean. Portugal and France and England and the Dutch were not the only ones. So,
monstrous. What has been did to black people is monstrous. It's monstrous.
Yes. I call it satanic, because if you know and understand, if you read the Bible, a lot of people just wait for the pastor to say something. They won't read that Bible and read it the way they should, as a history book, because it is a history and the behavior of people in our civilizations that brought religion to the surface. But you understand that black people are a very strong people, and a lot of other people are terrorized whenever they think that black people are standing on their own feet now and beginning to move. That's the reason why they're so terrified of Minister Louis Farrakhan, that is calling for us to come together, behaving out of secularization with the will of God, in order for us to be at our full strength, in order for us to be able to do the things that I'm talking about when I say, where we're living right now. I don't know how well you are familiar with Booker T. Washington, but Booker T. Washington, one of the speeches that he gave in the day when he was found in Tuskegee, he was talking about a ship that was in stress out on the ocean. And they saw another ship that was passing by, and they signaled to that ship with the code that the Navy used, you know, with flags and signaling to one another when you're out on the ocean. And they were thirsty. They were dying of thirst for fresh water. And the ship that they was asking to help them signaled back to them, cast your buckets down where you are. And they didn't understand what they were saying. And they kept signaling that we are dying of thirst when you give us water. And the ship kept telling them, cast your buckets down where you are. What they were telling them, they were sitting right in the outlet of the Amazon River, one of the strongest rivers on this planet. That Amazon River was so strong, it was pushing fresh water out into the ocean and pushing the salt water back, making room for the fresh water coming out of the Amazon River. All they had to do was to cast their buckets down and get fresh water. That's what they were telling them. But they didn't, evidently didn't understand where they were. So they could have been lost, because if you knew that you were sitting right in the mouth of the Amazon River, you knew that you were sitting right in the path of fresh water flowing into the ocean. It's things like this, from a lack of knowledge, you know, as the way I say, from a lack of knowledge of people will perish. And knowledge is what we have got to get into the heads of our people. And we know that the grandparents is the ones that we can get to. They have the wisdom in the family. The grandparents can be gotten to easier for them to be the one to teach the families up to a level of understanding, because we're going to have to teach all the way across America. And that's in every town site. This would be the largest, if you come to think of it as a university, the largest university that the planet has ever seen. Is the black man rising up and teaching himself his history. Our scholars have written that we have scholars as brilliant as any other scholars that has ever been born on this planet. We have their books. They left us the evidence for us to study and to teach and to learn and to grow. Nobody else in the founding fathers saw us as being human beings. They saw us as being property. They saw us as being three-fifths of a human being with no soul, chattel slavery. All of these that they called the founding fathers. They can't be the founding fathers of the black man, even though they are the founding fathers of this country. They're the founding slave masters of the black man, but they're definitely not our fathers. But our grandparents is the key, and I would appreciate any word that you can get out to the families to tell them that even in the town where you are, the grandparents get together and be available to the families to get them registered into the movement. Registration is free. It doesn't cost you anything. And we have to do this in order for us to get away, because we keep talking about a separate nation. The white man has already separated himself from black people. They have built the most beautiful neighborhoods, the most beautiful communities, the most beautiful housing units, put fences around it, put gates on it, and let in who they please. Two or three families of black people, then they say the place is integrated. But the only thing that I hope that they will keep in mind, that you would not have these beautiful communities, you would not have these beautiful town sites, if my people, our people, black people, had not died to put the foundation under this nation that no other foundation under no other government across this planet can compare to this one that is the foundation under America. All of these magnificent mansions that you see, the White House, the Capitol building, all of that was built with slave labor. And you didn't have to teach the slaves the trade they needed to build these. They already had it. A good example, the banner situation in Washington, D.C. When the French engineer that was building and laying out Washington, D.C. He decided to cancel his contract and go back to France. And it left America in a terrible situation. But the black man, Bannon, Benjamin Bannon, that was working with him, Benjamin Bannon was one of those slaves that had a mathematical brain. And he had already followed everything that this individual was doing, so that when he left and Bannon made it known that I can finish this building of Washington, D.C. I'm saying these things because you can't put your hand on anything in America that did not involve one way or the other the giving of the black man to this nation. And we have always been rejected and rebuffed by this nation. They have not embraced us for what we have done for the nation to make sure that we have cooperation in making where we live beautiful. I'm not interested in pushing nobody out of their space that they have built. I don't blame the white man for wanting the best thing that he can get for his family, but I damn sure blame him whenever he makes it impossible for me to get the same thing where I can beautify where I live and make it difficult for me to do that. But we're
Why
going
though,
to do it.
With the history, that, I mean, look, I know it sounds naive and stupid, but I went through extreme racism. Every day I'm attacked. You know, I have white people who yell on the next street at me and all kinds of things, you know, all kinds of abusive things go on here in this town. I mean, they actually yell at me and then call me crazy. At the time, white people do. Right now, they're doing it while I'm doing this radio interview. Why is this so necessary to do? All this evil that's going on. But why? Look at the history they have. Why are they continuing this? Why aren't they ashamed of themselves and their race of people?
I keep trying to explain to you, sister. And each time I come on, I tell you, there are two powers on this planet. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about godly power. One is satanic, and the other one is Christ. One is considered to be good. The other one is considered to be evil. If something is happening and you yourself have the common sense to know, there's no way in the world that Jesus Christ would want this to be done or would inspire this to be done. So if Jesus is not inspiring it to be done, you know that it's coming from evil. I don't care how you paint it or how you try to make it look good. Satan has the power to paint a picture the same way Michelangelo did when he painted the Sistine Chapel and created the Christian religion as far as the imagery. So if you thoroughly understand what's on this planet, how the planet is put together, and who our God is that created us, then you won't be caught off guard whenever you see these heinous things done. Because some things are more heinous than others. All white people don't hate at the same levels. They too were created by our God. People are not bad. And I say this often. And all black people damn sure ain't good. There's a lot that makes this planet go round and round. And we need to learn how to get along, because in the state and condition that we're in, we can see that our way of life in America is deteriorating. It isn't getting it isn't as beautiful. You know, America used to be looked upon as being the country. That's the reason why so many people are still coming here with all of the problems they have with integration. That's the America was the magnet and that sent the Statue of Liberty. You know, it says, bring me your need, bring me your hunger. And we'll feed them. We'll give them, you know, we'll give them a new way of life. But we didn't come by the Statue of Liberty. You and I came by the slave law. That was our Statue of Liberty. You got off the boat, you went right to the slave law. Most of the time with nothing on. People be poking you and probing you to see if you were sound enough that you would, they would want to pay the price that the auctioneer was auctioning you off for. There's no mysticism going on in America about the atrocities that happened to us. And the one that you were telling me about where the lady was pregnant and got shot. And one of the bullets went through the baby in her stomach.
Yes.
And you were so emotionally wrought about that that you just couldn't have the show that you wanted to have with me at that time. And I understand that because you're a female. And God didn't make the female the same as he made the males. But you hurt a child, in particular a child that has not come here yet. Because you understand that process. The male understands that you are pregnant and he knows that you are to be protected and all of that. He understands that from a protective point of view. But you understand it from another way. And as Minister Farrakhan said, that your womb is a laboratory of God. You're in a God-like spirit when you are reproducing that child. When that child is in your stomach, and for anybody to harm you
I mean, I did a lot of shows on murders by police, but that one got to me. I had to take a break.
Well, I understand that.
I have a daughter. I only have one child. I have one miscarriage too from the same man. But she has. I have three grandkids, and it got to me. I have two granddaughters and one grandson. He's the baby. And it got to me. It really did. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I can understand that.
And she was only 29. I'm not going to lie. I had to take a break from the show. I did. No need to lie.
Anytime I hear of something happening to a baby that God telling the baby.
Her name is Miss Charlena Lyle. It's been over a year since her murder, but the child was in her and the child was killed. With the mother. The mother seemed to have a mental illness, according to her sister. They've been trying to get them to Baker Act her, and they wouldn't do it. The judge, and then they would laugh at her. And her sister could just say, she's such a threat. Why do you have her out in the fridge and take pictures? She became ill from domestic violence. I assume the man was black. But the way the two white police are, she's only 100 pounds. I'm big, you know, I'm 5'6". I mean, 100 pounds. Claiming she had a knife or something in her hand, and he even perjured himself to kill her. Her sister was Miss Monica Williams. It's a 45-minute interview, very detailed.
Well, the thing is that we can't let things like that stop us from doing the things that we have to do, because once a person is dead, that person goes back to the Creator. And now we're left with the living. That's what we have to focus on. And
yes, sir, I understand what you're saying.
You have to understand. I I was reading something just recently about that young man in Montana who was setting those fires.
Yes, sir.
He was taken. They arrested him, the police did. Identified him. They posted
it on
Facebook and all of that, that he is the nephew of one of the deputies. Now, I agree with Minister Farrakhan about many of our police force paying members in the Klan.
Okay.
And they are conditioned, many of these young people, they are conditioned about what they hear when they're growing up, what they hear their parents discussing, their parents and their friends discussing about how they should feel and how they should treat black people. And most of the time it's directed at the church. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Muslim mosque or a Christian church, if it's in the black community. So we're talking about something now that really doesn't need discussing. What you and I started out discussing is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to protect ourselves? How are we going to make our lives?
Because if you kill a police officer, you will kill a police dog. You get so many years in prison here in Florida.
That's the injury of killing a dog.
The dog has more life.
Listen to me. That's the system. You're looking at a system. That's how the system is set up. Anything that the system owns, and you or outside of that box, and you do something to destroy that system or hurt that system in any kind of way, the system is going to make you pay for it. It's already rigged. It's already there to happen. And whenever the situation occurs, like a man and a woman in the projects have a domestic squabble and they call the police, you may be calling a killer to kill your man. You have to be very careful what you're doing whenever you pick up that phone and call for police that come from outside of black people. Those individuals came there already in a shoot mood. So we don't need to be discussing that. What we need to be discussing is the fact that this system is rigged like that. What are we going to do to protect ourselves instead of always being the ones that do the crime? And when my sister said we need to redistribute the pain, they need to feel the pain the same as we do. And the only way to make them feel the pain is that you organize and stop spending your money with them. When you stop spending your money with them, that will affect their stock. And then when their stock goes in a tailspin, they can't afford that yacht they got sitting out there in the bay. They can't afford that big mansion that they have. They started feeling the pain.
There should be more boycotts of these, a lot of national boycotts, but some black people don't want to do it because of stock.
We don't worry. Let's see, there again, you keep worrying about the ones that don't want to do, concentrating on the ones of like mind. If we don't concentrate on the ones that are like mine and get them to do it, then we defeating ourselves by worrying about the ones that are going to never do it or don't want to do it. Don't empower the ones that don't want to do it. That's what we do when we keep saying many black people don't want. We already know that. But let's get the ones that say that we want to do something. We need a plan. Let's get together to build a plan. Let's find those white people that we can work with, because there are white people that we can work with. And we have to find them. But we can't find them if we're always going to worry about the naysayers those naysayers are following Satan, I'm telling you now. They're not following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not teach divisiveness. Divisiveness is not a part of Christ. So that's the reason why I came on to talk to you about grandparents. That's what we need to focus on, is getting these grandparents to take care of getting their town together, bringing their town under control, finding out what we need to do in that town. What buildings are we going to refurbish? Where we make it look new? That's what this movement is about. And I'm willing to help in any way that I can to do that. But I will not empower these people that don't want to do anything. They will be given the opportunities to join us. And I try to work through the church because we need grandparents who are going to church. Am I making myself clear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. You understand. That's why I let you talk without much. Without too many interruptions, because I know what you're saying needs to be heard. Have you ever heard of Mr. Reverend James Stern? I had interviewed him about a year ago. He owns the land to the KKK in Mississippi. The gentleman from Mississippi burning the Grand Imperial. The Imperial Wizard, the Imperial Ku Klux Klansman, that was over 4 million people. He acquired his land from it. Edgar Ray Killings in Mississippi. Have you ever heard of this gentleman?
Yeah, I've heard of him, but I don't know anything about him because I wasn't interested in, at that time, I wasn't in Mississippi, what I'm telling you. My focus was something else. Focusing on prison ministry at that time, because I have a prison ministry also.
Yeah, he was illegal. Yes, sir, I understand that you have a prison ministry. You're greatly respected by a whole lot of people, greatly respected and admired, and people seek you out, as I well know. It's just I did an interview with him, and he somehow got the land from the KKK, and he has lots of letters from the murderer of the 3 civil rights leaders. So I was just wondering what you knew about that, because
anything about it, and the brother here in Mississippi who's a native of Mount Bayou, that advises me when I ask him about the history of Mississippi. And say this man's name is.
Yes, sir.
What did you
Reverend say? James Stern. Reverend James Stern. I've interviewed him. I think I'll email you a copy of it, of the interview, so you can listen to it.
Yeah, James Turner, you said.
Dr. James Stern, yes, sir. He was in prison wrongfully. They set him up and they let him stay in one prison for months or 18 months, and they sent him to Mississippi where he spent 7 years. And they closed the law library down to all across Mississippi and the prison that he was in. And he would write on napkins, paper towels. They wouldn't even give him paper sometimes, and he'd write his case number to write the word help sometimes. Sometimes he didn't even write a whole lot. Finally, the judge got tired of him sending it in that way and called him into court, and he told his story. And they wouldn't have said he was lying. The judge did. But what happened, he wasn't. He didn't even get a trial. But he turned a horrible situation. He was a civil rights leader from California.